الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. So before we continue with the discussion about Salah, how to work on our Salah, what to do in our Salah, one advice from the advisors of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimullah, apni fikr karni chahiye. The malfooz, the advice of it is that you should worry about yourself. You should worry about yourself. He says, one person asked me once a masala, and when I gave him an answer, immediately he said, I also thought so, because so and so person is doing like this. He said, immediately I stopped him. He said, in the future you should ask those questions which got to do with you. You should not be too worried about interfering in the affairs of others. He says, the great need of the day is that every person should have fear, should have worry, should have concern of his own. He says, today the sickness has become very, very prevalent amongst the general, he says, and amongst the special, amongst the people of knowledge, and amongst the common person. That everyone is worried about why he did something. Can't you tell him? Can't you stop him? What can we do to make him understand? He says, my uncle, he had a very nice saying. He says, sometimes you have so much of worry to protect the shoes of others. You're so worried, it mustn't get dirty. It mustn't get wet. He says, you're worrying about their shoes, and on the side you put your basket. In your basket is all your valuables. Their shoes, whether it gets wet or not, they'll walk barefoot. He says, sometimes when you worry so much about saving the shoes of others, you lose your own basket. He says, indeed, this was words of great wisdom. Sometimes when you're so worried about why he did something. In life, when there is fear, no one worries about anybody else. The lion is left loose, everyone runs. It's when everything gets safe, you turn around to say, where's my friend? But at that moment of fear, you don't think of your friend. We live in a world today that very few of us have fear of Allah, as Allah should be feared. Our relation with Allah has become like a friend. That you do exist, you are a Rabb. In Quran, where Allah Tabarak Ta'ala speaks of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and how Allah Tabarak Ta'ala addresses them, and how they reply with so much of fear. وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَىٰ. And remember when Allah will say, O Isa, أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ. Was it you who told the people, worship me? And Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam would reply, Allah, I never said so. But the way he'll reply, full of fear, full of fear. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had a lot of fear of Allah. A lot of fear. When man has a lot of fear, then even in Islah, in rectifying somebody else, he does it also with fear. It is never governed by pride, with arrogance. If he has to call someone, you idiot, that word is watched. That he did wrong, but was the word too harsh? What if Allah doesn't like that word? So life is about this. But when man loses that fear, then he starts becoming worried about the affairs of And today we find on the phone that's the biggest. Everyone is in groups to rectify everyone. But that man on the group, if someone has to say to him, you know what? Your remedy is come out of all groups. Your remedy is come out of all groups. Only then you will have time to look in your own mirror. Only then. But when man has no fear, he'll never look in his own mirror. He has become the judge of everyone, but he forgot, what about Allah judging me? When there is fear, you will cry. When there is fear, your head will be in sajda. When there will be fear, when people will praise you, it will make you worried. And when people will criticize you, you'll also think that Allah, if I'm really like this, I got a problem by you. When there is fear. Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us all with fear. To have a fikr of about ourselves. I ask a question to a mufti. Purpose of the question is me. Not that I know he's doing something. I need an answer. I'll send it to him. I'll forward it. I need to show him a point. You say, what happened today? Last night I told him. He just never want to accept. You know, he's so stubborn. Give me a dalil against him. Give me some proof. Say, all my life must be used to give him an answer. You fighting with him last night, you couldn't sleep. Why you couldn't sleep? Just because he wasn't ready to listen to you. What about you, but? What about you? You yourself got so many problems. Why don't you ask me a question regarding you? But no one has time. Because when we look at the world, you forget there's a mirror in our own house. You forget there's a mirror in our own house. Sometimes you'll have to look at the mirror and say, am I also good? Am I also good? Apni fikr karne chahiye. Allah grant us all tawfiq. With regards to performing salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's last look at his ummah, which perhaps we mentioned last week. But this is how important this point is. His last look at his ummah, the sahabi says, he stood up to the curtain, he moved it. He looked at us. He smiled. He even said that now nothing is left of Nubuwa. Now there will be true dreams. That's the only part left of Nubuwa. But he smiled. The Sahabi says, I can remember that smile. We really thought he's coming out. But then he took a step back and he closed the curtain. He smiled. So the scholars discuss why he smiled. Some say he was happy they all had united behind somebody beside him. That as long as my ummah is ready to accept somebody else as a leader. Some say he smiled because the greatest mission of his was salah. And in salah was not just the salah, but to get his ummah to read a good salah. Because when that good salah is read, that entire life comes right. So he smiled when he saw them after so many years, worry. When he would say, I can see from the back of my head like how I see in front. Meaning Allah would show him scenes. When you will read those ahadith, how angry he would get when someone would not read a salah correctly. How angry. And how happy he would get when someone would. He worried so much, is your substrate. Normally you will say, oh Allah's Nabi, now leave it now, it's not a major issue. It's your substrate. Then the Sahabi says, until when he felt we understood, then he left us. And then one day he sees one man's stomach sticking out, which means that man was not in the saf. And he gets upset. And says, you will definitely straighten your safs. Otherwise Allah will create ikhtilaf between you. But how angry he was. After salah he says, what is wrong with you people? That you are going before the imam. He says, I see from behind like I see in front. Sahaba radiallahu anhu became so scared. After that they say, only when the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched the ground in sajda, would the people then start going towards sajda. They were now too scared. That what if I go before him? He said, are you at aman, at ease, that Allah will make you like a donkey? Meaning, do you think it can't happen? He should be so worried. So now there is no Nabi to shout me and you. But there is the Sunnah of the Nabi. So to get the Sunnah of that Nabi, we have to sometimes make one salah, maybe in front of Amara. Because normally, you'll only realize how beautiful your salah is, or how not beautiful it is when you see it yourself. I'll have to look at my own salah, you have to look at your salah. Because there is no Nabi to say, now I see you like how I see in front. And I'm angry with you. Again, I'll repeat it another way this point. If Sahaba radiallahu anhum needed every now and then Allah's Nabi to again get upset, it means salah and mistakes in salah is going to always come back. And if there's never ever regular reminder, then a time comes where a person's salah, from how good it was, it just collapses to the ground. Just like that car, a mechanic will say that it's not sounding right. But it was a good car once upon a time. Say, what happened to it? He said, no one serviced it. But the man who's driving it can't even hear that sound. He never heard it. It was a mechanic. Similarly, like this year, you need an alim. You need a sheikh. You need a friend. Or you need a mara. You need a mara. To tell you, so Shah Waliullah Rahimullah mentions in this chapter, and may Allah Tabarakala make it, as this kitab now of Salah is coming to an end. He says, understand well, أَنَّ الْحَدَّ الْأَكْمَلِ, that final point which will get you the benefit of Salah, is definitely not the point which is called your farz of Salah. The final point which will get you the benefit of Salah is not that point which is called the farz of Salah. Rather, it now needs two extra things. And you will have to work for those two things to get your Salah, to give you the benefits of Salah. One, he says, it got to do with kam. Kam means how much are you reading? If you're sufficing on your farz, then you must know it's not enough. You will have to bring in sunnah. There will have to be sunnat muakkada. Then you'll have to move towards sunnat ghair muakkada. There will have to be tahajjud sometimes in your life. It has to come one day. There will have to be salatul duha. There will have to be ishraq. Tahiyyatul masjid, tahiyyatul wudu. If you can't get all in the same day, at least you must get some someday. He says, your kam, how much rakats you're reading, can never remain on farz. Had it been enough, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would never have increased one more rakat. He would have then left it and said, enough for you, O my ummah. He says, that complete limit, after which you will be able to get the benefit of salah, is definitely more than the limit of what we call farz. So those extra salahs we're not speaking about. Now, we're going to kaif. Kaif means how. Kam means how many. Kaif means how. Now that we know there's qiyam, there's ruku, there's sajda, there's qirat, we know our farz. Now we want to know, how do you do it? So with regards to kam, with regards to kaif, I'm going to first have someone do certain acts which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. Why he never wanted it? Because it just doesn't look right. He was very worried. Shah Waliullah Rahimullah says, if you ask me what's the basis of how a salah should be, he says, the basis of a salah, I will tell you in short, is how a subject, meaning a man of the country, stands in front of a very great king. He says, that's the basis of how your salah must be. He says, when he stands, how he will hold himself and keep his eyes down. His eyes won't be moving around.
because he knows it's not fitting for the king. When he has to move, he will not move in a manner that's ugly looking, because it's not fit for the king. Every movement will be with such composure, because he knows the adab of the king demands it. So we will give you certain examples which Nabi Sallallahu said, you can't be like this, you can't be like this. Meaning anything which is against what is called the adab of the court. Then we have to see in our own salah, if I have any of these, I come out of these and I start perfecting then what I got. Everything must look class. Everything must look class. He says, that which a normal man will look at and he will say, your salah just doesn't look right. He says, that's what we don't want. So a few points and then we'll have one person to stand up and show us how we should and how we shouldn't. Few points, he says, one is, how would your takbir, you knew your hands and your tongue and your heart have to be the same. I submit, I say Allahu Akbar, and my heart accepts. He says, similarly, when you go in tashahud, your hands and your tongue, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Your finger and your shahada. Your Allahu Akbar and your hand. See, what about the rest of salah? In the rest of salah, your hands have to be with you also. And many people forget that. In shahada it is. In Allahu Akbar it is. What about the rest? So no matter how many times you'll tell a person that your hands has to do something. When you're in qiyam, your hands have to keep itself firm. Because qiyam means I'm not moving for my master. Qumtu lillah. I'm standing still. So my hand has to say, I'm holding you still. The hand has to be with the heart. Both have to be together. Then I will go in ruku. In ruku I will grab. I will be grabbing at my knees. In sajda, I will be holding my fingers together. Holding my fingers. Everything needs the fingers. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The shahada, the finger moves. So in the other postures, my hands. Why so much of worry of the hands? Because it's the hands that do all the acts. You got an itch, it's the hand that's going to itch. No one ever itch with their toe. It's the hand. It's the hand. It's the hand that's going to look in the pocket to see if anything is there. Everything the hand is going to do. So first thing is the hand said, I'm stuck. And then in ruku, grabbing. In sajda, tight. This is for the salah of a man. This looks right for a man. For a woman, there's a different law for a woman. But everything which looks unique, for a woman, tasattur, an extreme level of haya in front of even Allah. How she covers her body. Otherwise from Allah, she's supposed to cover her body from another man. But how she covers her body from Allah. That level of haya, her whole salah goes on that haya. So everything of the body has to move with that. Everything. So that's one. Point number two. That you will avoid any sign, any movement, which is like an animal. Because an animal's movements is not the movements of a slave. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave certain words. We're going to try and show you now these words, how it works. Anything that's like an animal. And then we must look at it and say, my Nabi, when he shouted, he was shouting someone. So let's try. Who's our actor here?
Come on, sir. Show them.
You know how to act. Huh? Come, stand up. First, we're going to show you Naqruddik.
Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let him not peck like the pecking of a crow, of a chicken, like a rooster. So what was that there? That you need to go in sajda. So make sajda for them. So this is like a chicken sitting now. First sit first. Right. Now I threw some seeds for Mansoor. After I throw it, now Mansoor is going for the seed. Grab it. Now go like a chicken now. Chicken doesn't take its time. Go fast. That's it. You see that sign of his going makes everyone laugh. See, you like a chicken. But now imagine a man makes his salah like a chicken in front of Allah. That it was said, you are so close to me. The closest my slave can come is when he's in sajda. But that slave doesn't go to the sajda. Like a chicken, he just pecks and he's out. He just pecks. Naturally, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to see it, that's why he chose that word, like you behave like a chicken. Then what do you think Allah dropped there? Like, it's one seed. They just hit it and you're up. Couldn't you keep yourself down? So don't behave like a chicken. Number two. He said, don't ever sit like the sitting of a dog. You know that one? Show them. No, not the hand one. When you're behind. This. The sitting of a dog. Now we normally in our salah will never sit like this. By Allah's grace. He said, Iqa'ul kalb. That in my salah you will sit in front of Allah like a slave. You will not sit like how a dog sits. Just waste it. Then he says, the folding up like a fox. Ihtifazul sa'alab. This is in sajda. To make a sajda where you close yourself like a fox. Show them. More clothes. So a woman will do this. A woman will close her body. As for a man, you can't be closed. It's against the kayfiyat of a slave. That my Allah wants me to be a man in sajda. So I will not go like a fox. Because remember, a lion looks different. And a lioness has to look different. When a man comes, he shows strength, it looks remarkable on a man. And when a woman comes, she shows weakness, it looks remarkable on a woman. If a woman comes in front, and it's your first night, and she's supposed to come with haya, but she comes flexing her muscles, then you know the whole thing is upside down. She's not supposed to come at that moment and show you dumbbells. How many I can do? How many you can do? You'll walk out immediately. You say, this is not, I never thought of a wrestling match on the first night. But there's nothing wrong with her being strong. But to show strength, that was not right. Wasn't the time. So for a woman to make that salah big, won't be right. She has to be down. But for the man to go down, it's like the man then becomes like the woman. Everyone had to be the best slave to Allah. So he says, don't crouch like a fox. Buruk al-ba'ir. Don't sit like how a camel sits. Now the camel, when it's sitting, it drops which leg first? The front legs. Right, let's stand up. Face them now, they must see this. Right. Face that way. Now when you're going down, when you are going to go down, you're supposed to not drop your front legs. So in man, we don't have front legs, we got hands. So the hands going first is the dropping or the sitting of a camel. Show. There. Now stand up again. So now show us how we're supposed to go down. Better do it again. Now don't put your front forward. Keep your front straight. And now come down. Straight. So you'll come down straight. And thereafter you'll start going into sajda. A little movement front is like you trying to be like a camel. That camel, when you see how it sits, it looks unique.
It looks unique. You actually, if you're on the camel, you think I'm going to fall also. Because it just goes, and then the back one goes. And but when you look at it, you say, eh, lucky that's for a camel. But sometimes you will see a person performing salah. And he also goes with his front, then his back, then his front. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't make a sajda like a camel. Why he used these words? What words he used? He said, are you behaving like an animal in front of Allah? Are you behaving like an animal in front of Allah? Iftirashu sabu', like how a wild animal spreads its elbows, spreads its forearms. This is in sajda, make sajda. Down, go down. Alright. So even this, you can keep it later, but it's this part. This part touching the ground. How are you supposed to do it? Lift it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would lift it so much that they said if a baby goat needed to go through him, it would manage. Me and you, when we go in sajda, we must see, will a baby goat manage? Why he never want it down? It just doesn't look like a slave. Just doesn't look. Then he said, I would not want you to perform salah like a man. He never mentioned mutahayyir, confused, but he mentioned, stand. A man with his hand on his hip. Show them how it can look. Turn around. Because sometimes when the students are made to stand in class and they're upset with the teacher, then they also put their hand there and say, like, what's you got a problem with? Show them. So the one hand is going to be tied, obviously, it's salah. And the other hand now is tired. So instead of holding here, it now goes a little bit here. This imam is just taking too long. Show me. Yeah, putting the hand on the hip. Said, like, what, are you standing on the side of the road? Like, is this the sign of a slave? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this. Why he mentioned all these animal words, wild animals, dogs, fox, camel, dog, rooster. He said, these are the actions of that which has no aqal. Meaning animals which don't have understanding. He said, you are people of understanding. In the court of a king, you can't behave like this. So may Allah tawarakala make this lesson easy for us to remember, because we think of animals. Animal kingdom. So many animals can be in salah. Am I an animal? So after I say Allahu Akbar, I must finish that salah and I must not be counted by my Allah. You read like an animal. You read like an animal. Again, I'll repeat the first part. He lifted the puffer curtain, he smiled. He smiled because he saw his salah that made him happy. That was the mission of his life. A salah that made him happy. A salah that made him happy. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make us perform a salah that always makes Allah happy. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.